John, can you take us, give us the big picture and tell us a little bit about where we are in Yolngu Northeast Arnhem Land Tourism?
Well, we're actually sitting at the site of the Garma Festival, which is held every year at a place called Gukula in Northeast Arnhem Land. And as I look over, I can see this incredible escarpment of Arnhem Land leading to sand dunes and beyond the ocean. And that's just the tip of what is an extraordinarily beautiful part of Australia, which to most people is totally unknown. And it's beautiful not just because of its natural scenery and its islands and its beaches and its forests, eucalypt forests and rivers, fish and wildlife, crocodiles even. The real beauty lies in the fact that here we are experiencing a culture, the culture of the Yolngu people, which has been pretty much continuous for well over 40,000 years. And of course, in this world, the people are inextricably connected to everything in the landscape. And everything in the landscape is connected to the people. It's like a big cycle, a circle, where nothing lives independently. Everything is joined together. Everything is connected. And it is an amazing world, which we hope more Australians will get to discover and understand, because it is quite an extraordinary culture. And for some years now, with Lirawi Tourism, we've been looking at developing small-scale cultural tourism on all the homelands, because the Yolngu people really, really, they want to stay connected to their homelands. They want to stay connected to their culture. They want to share their culture. They're passionate about sharing their culture with a wider audience, not only with Australians, but with people from all around the world. They also want to get off welfare. They want to be economically independent. They want to undertake training. They want jobs for their children. They want justice. They want recognition. And they want reconciliation. And all those things together makes tourism a really, really potentially powerful and important part of the future of Yolngu people.
So John, there's been what's called a master plan. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And how, it's a very difficult issue here, being self-sufficient on homelands, isn't it? I mean, it's a profound question. There's not a one-fix solution. And if you could give us an idea of how much tourism is contributing, even at its very early latent stages as it is, and why it's such an important supplement to homelands income.
Basically, there are no jobs on the homelands, and people want to stay in their homelands, but they don't want to stay on welfare. So the solution is to create viable industries for people that they continue to live the life and practice their culture and keep their culture strong. And tourism for them, and they've decided this, not me, not anybody else, they've decided this is not the only way, but one of the ways forward for the future. And the master plan, the Yolngu Cultural Tourism Master Plan, came into existence through Lirawi Tourism just over 12 months ago. And in that time, not only have we received extraordinary support from the federal government, from the Northern Territory government, but corporate partners, organisations like Qantas, Pacific Aluminium, have all come to the party and said, yes, we want to help contribute to the future of tourism in Arnhem Land. And it is unquestionably, I've worked on some amazing projects in my life, including when I was CEO of Tourism Australia, opening up the Chinese market, the Olympic Games in Sydney. This is by far the biggest, the most exciting, the most challenging project. It's not really a project. It is the most important thing that I've ever undertaken in my life. And we envisage the vision of the Yolngu people is that in 20 years' time, 50 or 60 small businesses right across the land, beautiful little camps, taking maybe 10 or 12 people at a time, learning about the culture, experiencing the weaving and the fishing, and hearing the stories about the night sky, and learning how to do all that. Actually, you are being invited into the homes of the Yolngu people to see how they live, eating beautiful seafood straight out of the ocean, going for walks, looking at the wildlife, understanding their connection with the country, understanding their connection with everything that exists, including the stars and the earth and the rivers and the ocean and the animals and the trees. It is, I think, no, I know, that it is Australia's newest travel destination. It is totally unique. You cannot experience this anywhere else in the world. It will be known in 20 years' time as the place to go in the world for the best Indigenous cultural experience you could possibly have. And people say to me, well, are Australians really interested? Well, in fact, they are. Mm. There was a study done a few years ago by Tourism Northern Territory, and 92% of all Australians think it's really important for their children to learn about Indigenous culture.
Mm.
And 84% think it's important for them to learn about it as part of the reconciliation. Mm. So there is this amazing goodwill, not only at the government level, but at the corporate level, but also at the public level, this amazing goodwill and this desire to understand this culture, which we have ignored for so many years. There's so much they can teach us.
Fantastic, John. I mean, so Matt, how do people who want to come to have these experiences, how do they go about it? And can you tell us a little bit about some of the recent experiences that maybe people have had?
Well, Lirawee has a good online presence, including a website and social media. So anyone that is interested in a great cultural experience, Aboriginal cultural experience, they do their homework, they will eventually wind up, you know, with this region. This is pretty much the place, I think, for aficionados of Aboriginal culture, as you also know. So it's not a difficult, if you're in that headspace, we're not difficult to find, and we have a number of experiences that we can offer people, or we can tailor experiences based on their sort of time frame and to an extent budget.
I mean, one of the other things I think, the word Lirawee, could you explain what that means? And of course, this is an Aboriginal owned business,
It's an Aboriginal corporation under the Orrick Act, and so we have a board of senior Yolngu directors, all of whom have an interest in tourism. And we have Yolngu staff. I'm the only Balanda white person on staff at the moment, so it's very much a Yolngu organisation. And we work with more than 20 homelands at the moment, developing their businesses, and that's right from the ground up, you know, in terms of corporate structure and land tenure and business planning and all those key things. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us. But we really do three key roles. That one is that of an economic development organisation focused on tourism. The other is a destination marketing organisation, because we want to be able to promote the region the way that we think it should be promoted, not have someone else do it for us. And the third is we're a tour operator, because we have to be, someone has to provide the sort of the logistical glue to bring it all together, because there's all the compliance related stuff and the capital equipment that's needed that none of the homelands can sort of provide at this stage, but will be able to over time. So we work through with them stages of development. So at the very start, they're highly, highly dependent on us, but as they grow, like a child, the Yothu Yindi sort of model, they become less and less dependent on us, to the point where Lirawee is more of just a marketing organisation to them. But at the start, it's a very high level of support, and we run on a commission-based model, so we are expected to be sort of self-funding within a certain period of time, which I believe we will be once we have a critical mass of businesses up and running.
Sorry, I'm just... Louise?